For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Yes, hello, welcome to the Monday Waffle, episode 10. My name is Jake Batrick. With me in the studio this week is Claire Dell and the slippery, elusive Mark Foreman on debut.
Yeah. We're as surprised as you are.
Looks like me.
Now, Mark, you've been MIA. We brought this up
A couple of weeks back.
Yep. And we thought that would kickstart, you know, your return.
And look what's happened. Look where we are. So
it took you a while.
All's well that ends well. No, it didn't.
He showed up late. He has no idea what's happening. But yeah, we're excited to have Mr. Mark Foreman in the studio today.
Great to be here, Jake. I'm excited. It's a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure, Mark.
The pleasure is all mine.
Oh my god. Okay, this is going to be a long show.
Now, before we get into the waffle. Facebook page or the Waffle website put out this thing over the weekend. It's the 2015 Waffle Origin All-Star Team. Now, basically what it is, it's a full side made up of AFL players, West Australian AFL players, and it shows you where they originated from. So, I mean, for example, you've got on the wing Bradley Hill, who was from West Perth, Hayden Ballantyne on the forward pocket from Peel. Who else have we got? Andrew Swallow, captain of North Melbourne. He's a former Shark. So it's a great team.
You'll notice really a bit of a breeding ground there at East Fremantle. They've got, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yep. players? Yeah.
Same could be said for the Swans as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
East Fremantle have always had a pretty strong sort of AFL representation, though. And always good to watch. There's still a few guys running around for East Fremantle who have played a lot of footy recently.
Yeah, I mean, Liam Anthony's one at the moment.
Mark McGough's the other one. He's very strong.
He's a favourite of yours,
very
isn't he?
Very strong for them. Well, he won the Anzac Day medal probably 6 or 7 years ago now for the Pies. But no, it's a cool team they've put out there.
It is really cool. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised. There's only one Tiger, Nat Fyfe, and one...
And you can barely count him, can you? He's around the country. No, we'll pay it.
Phone's on silent, everyone. we'll chuck the photo up with the podcast when it goes live, so you can have a look at that. Definitely check it out. It's fascinating viewing. But right now, we're going to kick straight into the first game. I was down there at the Showgrounds to see the Tigers defeat Peel 17-16, 108 to 6 goals, 10-46. The Tigers are on the brink of breaking into the top five after belting a very disappointing Peel by 72 points. Look, Peel had only two players that hadn't represented an AFL team out on the park on the weekend, and they should have done a lot better, to be brutally honest.
You'd be very disappointed if you're a Peel supporter.
Two players that haven't represented an AFL team.
And they still got thrashed.
And they got belted.
Oh, well, clearly. The issue is you can't give a team a 7-goal head start. So quarter time, it was 7-1. There's no coming back from that.
No, I mean, it's always going to be a stretch to come back from that. I mean, Peel were honestly like a bunch of Oz kickers out there. Just woeful.
Wow.
They had no conviction going forward. I mean, players like Jeddah just was great when the ball was coming to him, but he wasn't running to find the ball all day. Just woeful. Anyway, we're gonna jump into some stats because we love stats here at the Monday Waffle.
We do.
Claire.
Yeah. In that first quarter, so the Claremont kicked 7 goals. 3 of those were from Jack Bradshaw, and the other another 3 were from Shane McAdams. Jack Bradshaw ended the game on 4 goals, 18 touches. So yeah, he played really well. Thomas Ledger had a goal, 33 touches, 13 marks of that. Ryan Neitz, he also did really nicely, 34 touches, and Ryan Lim with 32 touches there. So yeah, lots of good players for Claremont.
As you said, Ryan Neitz, he's been in good form. He's backed up beautifully after performing well in the state game last weekend. The Tigers, they're looking good ever since Mark Seabee's been back, and Bo Maester as well down there. They've just got a bit of size, you know, down the spine. They're a lot more settled. They're just moving the ball well. I just love the Tigers. I'm up and about.
I can tell.
They're my second favourite team.
I can tell.
And you've got guys like Shane McAdam, who's an absolute live wire. Just loves getting the footy, loves the sausage.
Loves the sausage?
A goal.
Okay.
The sausage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Claire, get your mind out of the gutter.
Now, Mark, is there anything good to say about Peel? Give me something. Give me and the Peel fans out there something.
Not by the looks of it. Look, I think the thing you got to sort of hold on to is the fact that they're still in the top five. And let's go...
They're grasping.
Let's say... I know. But let's just say it was a... what I'm trying to say, let's just say you can scrap this one. Just play it off as a bad week.
Yep.
And they'll, they'll be back. Who they got next week?
West Perth.
Well, bad luck. He's playing West Perth next week, so it doesn't get any easier. But no, like I said, first quarter for mine, the first quarter, and probably the third quarters are the business of a footy game, because if you get off to a bad start, there's just no coming back.
Yeah.
And when you concede 7-1 in the first quarter, the thing is, no matter how hard you chip away, you could have a brilliant second quarter, kick 6 goals to, none or nothing, and you're still only even, right? And you spend all that energy getting back. You can't afford to do that. So those senior guys, 20 out of 22 to have played AFL footy,
yeah,
should be doing better than that.
Yeah, and they should be doing a lot better.
When the other team has a run on, they need to know how to stop that.
Well, that's right. I mean, it is a game of four quarters, and Peel at the moment, they're just not playing four quarters of footy.
No.
And it's disappointing. They should be doing a lot better given the talent that comes with being aligned with the Dockers. Now, looking ahead next week's games, Peel are hosting the Falcons, who are on a bit of a roll at the moment. So
high-flying Falcons.
That's going to be tough. That's down at Bendigo Bank Stadium in Mandurah. Guys, do we think Peel are going to bounce back, or do we think the Falcons are going to roll on?
No.
Yeah, no.
Falcons
are going to win it. Yeah, definitely.
Up the mighty blue and reds.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Forgot what they wore for a second.
Blue and reds.
Is that your team?
It's my team, and I've just forgotten what they bloody wear.
Yeah, the blue and reds, as no one ever says. I think the only way Peel will win that one is if West Perth's bus breaks down.
On the way down to Mandurah. Chance of it. It's a bloody long way.
It is.
And Claremont have got the bye, so they should do pretty well there.
Yeah.
They don't have a game.
You know what they say, when you've got a bye, you've got a win.
Exactly. So yeah. A well-earned week off for the Tigers.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
On the line, we have Channel 7's Mark Reddings. Mark, you were down at East Frio, South Frio, the Frio Derby. Looked like a ripping last quarter. Just for those of us that didn't get to catch the action, can you run us through the final stages of the last quarter?
Yeah, terrific last quarter, as you say, and no doubt South Fremantle trailing by 16 points at the last change. They had some work to do, as they did at quarter time. They were out by 32 points, East Fremantle. They dominated the game. They scored 7 goals in the first quarter. But South Fremantle gradually ground their way back in. By half time, it was 9 points of difference. And some of their smaller forwards, like Corey Delolio, made an impact for South Fremantle to give them a chance. Conversely, for East Fremantle, they had some really important contributions from the likes of George Hampson. Brad Dalziel got involved during three-quarter time. So it did set the stage for a wonderful last 30 minutes. But South Fremantle, they kept pressing. They had their chances. And eventually, they hit the lead. Late in that quarter. Unfortunately for East Fremantle, they missed some opportunities themselves going back the other way. In particular, Mitch Boyle hit the post in the last couple of minutes. They had probably two or three chances to snatch victory, but I know still being here at East Fremantle, they're pretty disappointed with conceding a 32-point quarter-time lead, which does continue a very strange twist with derbies. The last 10 matches have been won by the away side, and that is the case again today.
Mark, Peter Spencer from the ABC was quoted as saying, "I can't remember seeing a better game than that in my time with the ABC." That's 27 years worth. Was it right up there in the games you've seen?
Oh, it's terrific. In fact, even with 8,000 people here today, it was a case of really turning back the clock in terms of the atmosphere. The quality of the game was terrific. It was tight. That always makes a difference. So, yeah, there's no doubt that the promotion the game received and all the elements that came during the game with regards to the skills, the intensity, physical nature made sure that it's definitely the best game we've done this year. And look, I haven't seen a better one in the last 5 or 10 years either, so it's certainly been better than some of the grand finals we've seen in recent times. It was an absolute beauty.
Now, you said there was 8,000 people down there today, and there was a lot of build-up before the game earlier this week. What was the crowd like?
It was outstanding. As I said, the banks of the Adam Stadium were filled, and it was just a case of people trying to get a spot on the grass or having a kick at quarter time or at half time. Really family atmosphere. So it was a fantastic way for the WA to be celebrated, of course. A lot of promotion going into it. And East Fremantle Oval sometimes can be a bit cold and windy, but it was really perfect conditions for footy today. And I suppose when you look at the numbers today, it shows that if you've got a good promotion of a local game of footy, people will come along, kids can come and have a kick of the footy, families, it's fantastic for them. So it all adds up to good numbers. Doesn't happen every time, of course, but days like a derby, if it all clicks, it makes for a really good spectacle.
Well, sounds like a good win for the Bulldogs, a much-needed win for the Doggies. Who can we catch next week on Channel 7, Mark?
We're doing Swan District and East Perth from Steel Blue Oval. So that game, I think, starts at 1:40. Looking forward to that one. Swan District coming off a win over Perth and East Perth, Victoria, so over West Perth this afternoon in the other derby. So plenty to look forward to next Saturday on 7, mate.
Excellent. Love your work, as always, Mark Reddings. Thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
Have a great week, guys.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
At Steel Blue Oval on Saturday, it was the Swan Districts earning a hard-fought 7-point victory over the Perth Demons. They won 13-7-85 to 11-12-78. The Demons came out and kicked the first two goals of the game and then the last three of the first quarter to hold on to an 18-point advantage at quarter time. However, Perth didn't score another goal until the 14-minute mark of the last quarter, with Swans at that stage looking in control, leading by 29 points. But Perth stormed home, kicked a few late goals, but it wasn't enough to get over the line against the Swannies, who earn a valuable win and get themselves back into the top five, which is well deserved. They've been, well, a bit up and down this year, but
who's, you know, been up and down?
Swans.
Oh yeah, well, I thought Perth, you meant Perth. I was like, no,
been Perth, down. Perth have just been down.
Let's not. Come on, guys, let's get off their back. You got
like an anchor.
Someone has to stick up for the Demons.
Go is on, it going to be you, Mark?
Nope.
I mean, I couldn't get down there, but from all reports, it was actually quite a good game.
It was, yeah. It was a good game. Look, Adam Faulkner, Swan Districts, was outstanding. So I actually didn't think there were too many great players. If you read the match report, there tended to be a few. you know, I've read, I'll read it. Defenders Kurt Ugel, Alex Howard, Nathan Broad, Tony Knott and Justin Simpson were all very good. That's five of the back six. so
just getting it done.
Defended well, apparently.
Everyone was excellent.
No, I thought Adam Faulkner was by far the best player. Also needed to be, because Talon Ames was a late withdrawal for Swans, who's crucial for them. Captain as well. So he had a hamstring complaint. So someone sort of needed to pick up the slack there, and Faulkner just worked hard all day. Ryan Davis, former Collingwood player, he was also actually quite good. Fresh off the Simpson medal from last week, I think. Yeah, he did. So he helped WA over the SA. He was also very good, and a pretty even spread of goal kickers too. So Jukes and Donovan kicked three each. Faulkner got a couple. Faulkner got one himself, and then the rest were individuals. But look, much the same as the previous game, Perth actually had a good start, right? Yeah. 5-2 in the first quarter, but then managed 1-3 in the next half of footy. So second and third quarters, 1-3. I suppose that's what you get from a team at the bottom of the ladder, is a lot of inconsistency.
So inaccurate, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it. I mean, and Swans just pegged them back. We're in front by half time and just sort of held them there the rest of the day. Never.
Just took control.
It was never, to be honest, it was never really threatening, but look, the margin sort of is close in the end.
You got to cling to that if you're a Perth fan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was a close margin, at least. We're coming back.
And yeah, as a Demons fan, not that I am, but I'm saying if you were a Demons fan, regardless of the end of what I say about the pattern of the game, it's only 8 points? 7 points. It's only 7 point margin. Yeah. So. Good job to the Demons, but Swans did what they had to.
Exactly right. They needed the win. Claire I mean,
There's not much to say. It's like I come in every week and I feel like I say exactly the same thing. Like, well, Aidan Tropiano did really well. And it's true, he did too. Yeah, so I mean, he had 33 touches and a goal. Like, every week.
Seven tackles as well.
So. Yeah. Every week we come in and we're like, man, Aidan Tropiano's so good. What a shame he plays for Perth.
I'm just looking here. You got a hit out as well, so you'll take
that. Yeah, yeah. Take it. Anything you can get.
The old third man up.
Dean White, he played really nicely as well. He had a couple of goals along with, a lot of touches in the midfield there. Who else? Let me have a think.
I'm just looking here.
There's not a lot really you can take, really. I don't
not
know.
Not a lot going on.
I mean, in terms of disposals, it was Tropiano, McKenna were the only players to get 30-plus for the Demons. The next best was Dean White with 25. Old Huggy Bear was fourth best with 20. Kieran Hug, that's right. I was going to say Kyle. It's Kieran Hug. just Perth, we say this, I feel like a broken record.
Yeah.
Just aren't getting enough help in the midfield.
No.
If they had some help in the midfield, they might have won a few more games this year. But Tropiano.
Poor Aidan.
He's going to end up like Chris Judd with really sore shoulders.
Yeah.
carry the team.
Mighty Demons.
Yeah.
Hey, things will turn. Things will turn.
It always does.
Footy does. Footy goes in patterns, okay? And right now, it's not a good pattern for the Demons.
I'm so glad we brought you in this week for your wisdom.
It'll improve.
For your endless
It'll
wisdom.
Improve.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, I was a bit dismissive of some of the other Swan Districts players, I think, because Adam Faulkner was very good. But Aaron Alari, 30 disposals. Matt Riggio, 30. And Jacob Burnham was also quite good. Only 22, but he still played well. But I suppose it's easy to play well when you're
winning.
Playing Perth.
Well, both of those reasons.
Both of those are very relevant. When you're playing Perth, you tend to win.
We're going to move on. Look at the fixtures for next week. Swannies are hosting the Royals down back at Bassendean. It's a two home games in a row. The Swans will enjoy that very nicely. That'll be a good game, actually. Yeah, I actually think the Swans are due for their standard loss after a good win. So I think the Royals are going to get up over the Swannies out there at Bassendean. I called it Guildford last week, which was made a few people angry. Guys, do you think the same or who? Mark?
Yeah, giving it to the Royals.
Royals, Claire.
No, I'm gonna go Swans.
Okay.
Even though East Perth won, you know, today, I think I'll give it to the Swans.
Mixing it up. Mix up, Mark.
The Perth Demons travel to Freo Oval to face the Doggies. Well, in terms of needing a win, the Dogs need a win. They need to keep winning if they want to play finals. So
I'd also have thought that Perth need a win as well.
Well, Perth need a win, but not as badly.
I see what you're saying.
I think Perth.
Perth's finals prospects are quickly fading. So
if not faded already.
Yeah, well, you can never. You just never know. Footy goes in patterns, doesn't it, Joe?
Yeah. A week's a long time in football. As they say.
Yeah. Not in this case, because I think the Bulldogs will win.
Bulldogs all round.
Yeah, everyone's giving that one.
Beautiful.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too. In the WA Day Derby, East Perth ended up comfortable winners over West Perth. The Royals finishing 18-11-119 to the Falcons 10-11-71. For East Perth, it was a story of a great team effort, with all but one of the Royals players racking up double-digit possessions. East also had goal kickers across the board, but Scott Lysette stood out, kicking 4-1. For West Perth, Shane Nelson and Aaron Black were the standouts, with 36 and 33 touches respectively, but couldn't find much support. On the goal kickers list for West, things didn't get much better, with none of the Falcons managing more than one. This is Jesse Watkins for the Monday Waffle.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
All right, gang, it's that time of week again. Our favourite segment on the Monday Waffle. Time to get your tips out.
Yeah, get them out.
I said tips out.
Yep.
Now we've covered all the games pretty much except for Subi and East Freo. We'll recap on what we've tipped. I went Swans over East Perth. Claire,
I went East Perth.
Was East Perth, and Mark was.
I'm Swans.
I think I was actually East Perth.
You were, because I was the one that went differently.
Yep. Yeah. We were all West Perth over Peel and South Freo over Perth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Subi over East Freo at Medibank Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Bounce down for that one's at 2:15. Yeah.
That was a bit of a Freudian slip there. You just said Subi
that's
over.
I picked that as well, the old Freudian slip.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said Subi over East Freo. Instead of Subi against.
Okay.
Because clearly Subi are going to win.
So I'm just thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Because Ubi Dooby Subi are going to just do it for them.
I'm going to say, so Subi had a break and East Fremantle have just come off a real tight game, which would have been contested right to the end. 35-minute quarters, pretty much. So nothing really working out for East Fremantle.
Not to mention Subi, just hard to beat.
Top of the ladder as well. Yeah. So.
Pretty obvious choice.
Speaking of top of the ladder, that brings us to our tipping ladder. Good segue.
Well done.
Shameless.
It's been a long day.
Seamless and shameless.
Just a smooth operator.
Yeah.
Josh is still on top now. He got
Josh Money.
He was the only one this week to get 4 from 4 in our tipping comp.
Mm-hmm.
So he moves to 25 points, which is 4 clear of the next
best,
which is you.
Yes.
Derlos.
The Derlinator.
The Derlinator, yeah.
The big Delolio.
Ever called me that.
The Delolio.
Derlolio?
We could almost call you Corey Delolio because you got the
Clary
same initials.
Clary Derlolio. Is this what it's come to?
Yep.
Is this what we do?
Anyway, I'm going to move on from that. Just let that simmer. Jesse moves above me, so Jesse's in third spot on 20 points. He got 3 from 4, and then it goes a bit downhill from there. I slipped down to fourth. I'm on 19 points, so I got 2 from 4. Josephine McDonald got 2 from 4. She's on 18. Mark, you're on 18 as well. You're third bottom now.
Yeah. Well,
you need a pull finger, mate.
Yeah, but I needed to give everyone else a chance. It was getting a bit one-sided, so you don't want a runaway winner early.
No, you're ready to make a run home for the finals.
It was for the greater good.
Yeah. And I tip my hat to you, sir, for that.
Who's at the bottom?
Jared and Nicole are on 16. Jared got nothing right this week.
Oh, wow.
Well, he was late. So I had to give him the two away teams.
Not the day
Saturday.
To get it either. Yeah.
And then today he's just got absolute donuts. So, yep.
Bad
and
luck.
Then Nicole on, well, not percentage.
Nicole at the bottom by a percentage.
This is what happens when you leave us, Nicole.
Just sharing the bottom spot with Jared there. So, interesting. Starting to heat up. Can anyone catch Josh. Jesus Christ. Can anyone catch Josh? I don't know if they can now. It's 4 points clear.
I think I can do it.
You just got to chip your way away week by week. You don't expect to do it all in one.
Exactly right.
So
I mean, a week's
picking.
Along.
That's been me. I've come from the bottom.
Yeah.
I started from the bottom.
Now
I'm here.
Yep. So a common mistake is people will panic and pick Perth. I suggest not doing that because...
You heard it here first, Mark Foreman.
Coming from you, I think you're the only person that's tipped Perth in a game all year.
I gave him a shot and they shot me back.
Yep.
So, you know.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me in the studio this week.
It's been fun.
It's been a fun podcast, a great podcast, as always. Hit us up on Facebook. Give us a like if you haven't already. You can find the podcast there or on themondaywaffle.podbean.com. Have a listen. Guys, I'm sure I'll see you around the traps in the next coming weeks. It's going to be an interesting month or two with all us going on work experience and whatnot.
So who knows who'll be behind the waffle desk?
I know. Hopefully they don't sink it.
Well. Our glorious leader, Jake Batrick's going to be away for a while. So who knows who's going to be stepping in?
Anyway,
big shoes to fill. Maybe it'll be Mark.
I've still got a few more weeks, mate. So just chill out.
Yeah, don't jump the gun too early there, Claire.
Anyway, thanks again, guys. And thank you for tuning in to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.